The AFC is tight. Drama looms over the next 6 weeks. The Chiefs need to take care of business week by week. That means they need to stack them up. But they go to the most historic place in the National Football League this week on Sunday Night Football to do so. Plus, Rashee Rice is on this edition of Defending the Kingdom, and it's all brought to you by Ticketmaster. Watson in motion. They're going to throw a crossing pattern. Caught Rice, 30, angling, 25, up the sideline, 15, inside the 5, touchdown! Kansas City! A 39-yard crossing pattern, and then zooming up the sideline, Rashee Rice! Hi, everyone. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. In this episode of Defending the Kingdom, it is stack versus pack, meaning stack them up. Can the Chiefs stack up their 31-3 run against the Raiders and take it into Lambeau Field? And then Rashee Rice will be our guest. And 8 catches, 107 yards, including explosive 39-yard touchdown reception. Now, can Rice do it again? We'll chat with him later in the episode.
Yeah, and looking forward to that. Rashee was awesome against the Raiders on Sunday. And what an interesting game it was. It's one of those things that now, in retrospect, I'm actually kind of glad that we fell behind 14-0 because we saw how the guys responded, right? You look at the final score, it seems like the Chiefs just ran the table the whole way. But I think it says a lot about this iteration of this team that they were down 14-0 against a hungry divisional opponent on the road that kind of has them on the ropes, right? And what do the Chiefs do? They respond to that adversity, and they find a way to win in convincing fashion. So based on how it all played out, if you asked me at the beginning of the second quarter if I was happy with how things were going, I would not have said yes. But based on how the game ended up, almost a good thing. The Chiefs faced some adversity, and we saw how they responded.
The greater good kind of game. The greater good being down 14 to win by 14, reminiscent of the runs of Super Bowl 54 and 57. Then, too, again, we'll have Rice later, but his catch on third down for 10, on third down and 8, that was critical in a touchdown drive. The black hole, no pun intended, of the first drive of the third quarter that we talked about in previous episodes, he comes up with a big 19-yard catch on that drive that leads to a touchdown, and then to put the game away, essentially, with the crosser that ends up being a 39-yard touchdown. That's the greater good in this game, I think, and the fact that not only when he caught it, how he caught it, what happened with those catches becomes a greater good because it becomes a compliment. It's something to fill in the gap that we've been looking for throughout the season.
Yeah, it wasn't just empty yards. It's one thing if you look at like a 100-yard game and you're like, okay, where did those yards come from? For Rashee, it was like all big moments, right? He just laid it all out. I think it says a lot about his relationship with Patrick Mahomes that Mahomes was trusting him in those moments. He had 4 first down catches on Sunday. 2 of those were on third down. You mentioned the first one on the first scoring drive. On that first scoring drive, if Rashee does not catch that ball, okay, the Chiefs kick a field goal, they're down 14-3. You feel a lot better about 14-7, right? And then the backyard football style play on the first drive of the second half, that doesn't always happen right away with rookie receivers. They don't know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. Credit to Rashee for knowing what Patrick was going to do on that play and being open and ready for the play. And then lastly, the third down that ended up being the backbreaker. We've been looking for that knockout punch in these recent games, right? Didn't get it against Miami. Couldn't get it last week against Philadelphia. We got it here against the Raiders. That was the play where it's like, okay, the Chiefs have this game. And that's really exciting stuff moving forward.
And also, we don't want to leave the defense out of this discussion and the fact that, again, a 15th consecutive game and holding an opponent under 24 points. That's wrapped around to last year, and that's kind of zeroing in now on a franchise record. So defensively, to start the way the defense did, but the way they ended it was spectacular, to hold the Raiders to 3 points. And here again, we have seen some amazing things happen, basically blanketing Justin Jefferson in the Vikings game. 1 catch, 8 yards in the second half for A.J. Brown, or in the game for A.J. Brown, and then 0 catches for Davante Adams in the second half of that Raiders game.
It's one of those things where they responded once again. I mean, the Raiders went up and down the field on their first 3 drives, only got 14 points out of it because of the missed field goal, but they were 5 for 5 on third down at one point against Kansas City. But what did the Chiefs do? They responded. They adjusted and found a way to really limit this Raiders offense that's better than it gets credit for, I think. And you mentioned this, the Chiefs have not allowed more than 24 points in a single game this season. So 11 games this season. It's the longest streak to start a season of not allowing more than 24 points in a game since the 2013 Carolina Panthers. And for the Chiefs, it's the longest streak to start a season since 1991. This defense is something special, and it's kind of ironic because the game started kind of poorly for both the defense and the offense. But beginning at like the 11-minute mark of the second quarter, it might have been one of the most complete games the Chiefs have played, both defensively and offensively, outscoring the Raiders 31-3 the rest of the way. And the offense gets a lot of credit for that, deservingly so, but you can't have a comeback if the defense doesn't play well. And the defense was lights out after the Raiders' third offensive possession.
But this league is about stacking those performances up. It's how you win a division. It's how you win a conference. It's how you win a Super Bowl. We have seen it in the 11 years under the winningest coach in Kansas City Chiefs history, Andy Reid, who now passes the mentor, Hank Stram, to be in that position. But we also don't want to forget any or all of you. So let's jump in to the satellite that we call the Matt Stat Satellite and sail around the earth, fly around the earth in our satellite and check out our Around the World segment.
I was wondering if you were going to get to this.
Oh, we're getting to it.
We're so fired up.
You should have four today because of Rashi Rice.
Well, we have a mind meld, my friend. I have four for you today.
Ah!
Yeah.
Again, that's
Yep.
He's brilliant. So I'm telling you, he's a brilliant dude.
We've got a listener from Alaska. Pretty cool. I'll be in Alaska in about 6 months. Can't wait.
Night. We're in Alaska.
So we're doing a cruise. We're leaving out of Vancouver, Canada. I booked my flight yesterday, actually. But we're gonna leave out of Vancouver. We're gonna go up the peninsula.
The panhandle?
Yeah, and then just kind of circle around. It's like 7 days, then go back to Vancouver. I can't wait.
And where's this person from?
We don't know where exactly.
Just Alaska.
Just Alaska. Yep.
That narrows it down. The last frontier. Could be Nome, North Pole. Could be Fairbanks, home of the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, Nanooks.
Could be Barrow, Alaska. You ever see, like, you know what I'm talking about with Barrow? Like, they have to live, like, on top of, like, wood planks.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, facing the North Pole. Anyway, I
want to go to the Aleutians as well. Sometime.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, a listener from Alaska. I heard from Rasta in South Carolina. We've heard from Rasta before. They wanted to shout out their girlfriend, Teresa, from Boston. Teresa grew up a Patriot fan, but is now turning the corner and is now a Kingdom defender in South Carolina. So
I wonder why they defection. I'm curious, why they defected.
Listen, we welcome everyone. James and his mom, Carolyn, are from Parker, Arizona. And then lastly, we heard from David, originally from Atchison, Kansas, but now living in Quebec. Lifelong fan in Quebec. You ever been to Quebec?
I have not, although I want to. I want to go to Quebec because of the culture there. You feel like you're kind of in France, right, when you go to Montreal. But I do want to go to Quebec. Have you been there?
No, I never have. I'd love to. I went to Winnipeg with my wife years ago. It's the closest I've ever gotten, but I'd love to go. Because you're right. It's like France in North America. It'd be so strange. Like, I bet going to Montreal is like the weirdest culture shock, but I'd love to go.
Yeah.
One of these days.
And go to a hockey game.
Like yeah.
A Canadiens hockey game against the Ottawa Senators.
Why absolutely.
Do that sometime. But love it around the world. So, you know, let us know where you're at. All seven continents. We're still waiting for Antarctica. You can't fake it. You're going to have to shoot like no artificial intelligence photo. It's going to have to be real from Antarctica. But anyway, we've heard from all the other continents and love you all as Kingdom defenders, boosting this team, which is fun to boost. So stack them up against the pack and try to put together a consistent performance here, because we saw the gaps filled in. Go back to the last two episodes. We were talking about coming off the bye week and Andy Reid's so good at self-scouting. Well, I think we're seeing the fruit of that a little bit. That first drive of the third quarter, when I interviewed Andy on the Chiefs Kingdom show on the radio network on Monday night, that's where I started. It wasn't at the beginning of the game. It was that drive. And he said, yeah, the guys are kind of tired of hearing about it, right? But that drive was so efficient. Five runs, five passes, and there was an awareness because it changed the game. It went from, a 14-14 game to now the Chiefs were up seven and took the fight to the Raiders, where in the other games, the 5 weeks prior, even though three of those five were wins, the fight got pushed back to the Chiefs in all of those games. So it was encouraging to see that. They'll have to do the same against the Packers.
I think finding that rhythm on that drive was really important, because I think it's human nature that you look at a couple of these games in the past, specifically the Eagles game. If the game is tied or if you have the lead and you're trying to add to it in the second half and things don't go well, guys might start to press, and that accentuates the issues. I think finding that success on that opening drive, the third quarter against the Raiders, is a really scary thing for the NFL, because it's all of a sudden the Chiefs figured it out and the Chiefs can move the football. The Chiefs are not turning the ball over in the red zone. We're not having these drop issues. The Chiefs are moving down the field and doing what we know that they can do, and they know that they can do it as well. And then from there, it seemed like the guys were rolling the rest of the game. So that confidence is so important. And I think when the story of the season is told, we might look back at that game, specifically that second half, and think, man, the season really took off from there. And that was when the confidence was built that was sustained throughout the rest of the year. I believe that. And I think overcoming that adversity in that Raiders game and finding that success in the second half is a big, big deal as this team tries to chase down its goals.
So now we flip the page to the Pack. It's Stack versus the Pack. And here's the Pack. What's interesting about this game, full disclosure here, other than GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, this is my favorite place to go for a game. We've gone there a couple times in the preseason, not the same. Been there twice. The Chiefs have only gone to Lambeau. Think about the Chiefs' 64-year history. Only five times. Five times in history. And two in my brief tenure as 30-year voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's really an interesting study. First of all, where we stay, Green Bay's small. It's the size of St. Joseph or Topeka.
Wow.
That's the size of Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's not big. And we stay in a smaller town. I won't disclose. Not a smaller town, but a town. But you travel a half hour through soybean fields and corn fields to get to Lambeau. You see it on the horizon. It's like 10 miles away, but you can see it glowing, especially with Sunday Night Football. The lights will be on. And you can see it long before you get there. It's like when you go to Alaska and you'll see Denali, right?
Yeah.
And it's 400 miles away and you go, there it is. But this is such a remarkable place. And the history of this place is amazing. It's really the origin of the National Football League, as you think about it. 1921, the Acme Packers. But you feel all that going into this game. And it's a great thing to feel. You also feel Super Bowl I, the very first Super Bowl, where the Chiefs and the Packers. And I know the Kingdom Defenders and all of you, when you come to visit the pilgrimage to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, you feel all of the tradition that Matt and I talk about that 65TPT presents to you all year long. You sense it. You feel it. It's even more history. Think about the Chiefs started as the Texans in 1960 in Dallas. Go back another 40 years. And that's the history of the Packers.
Super cool. I've never been there, so this will be my first time ever going to Lambeau, and I'm super excited about it for all the reasons that you mentioned. Just the history of the NFL. It's so cool that this venue still exists after decades of football being played there. And I'm also excited that we're going there in December. It wouldn't feel right going to the frozen tundra in September, right? It wouldn't be the same. So I'm super pumped to go there in December, and hopefully we get a big win.
Just that we want to have all those cornfields and soybean fields to go through, and we've gone there before in the fall. That's done, picked, and harvested. They're getting ready for next year. But, yes, it will be cold and snowy. So we will get to experience the frozen tundra. And I always go down to the point of the Bart Starr sneak on the coldest day ever a football game was played when they beat the Dallas Cowboys. I always do that. It's tradition. I'll go down. When we do field pass, I will go to the one-yard line where he snuck in. The Chiefs have been there in my tenure twice, prior to that three times. The Chiefs, though, had a glorious victory there in 2003, a very improbable victory, part of the 9-0 start that year. But this brings you back to your childhood.
Oh, yeah. So 2003, I was probably like 10 years old, 12 years old, and I remember listening to the game on the radio, listening to you. My dad and I were fishing, and I remember you going crazy when Eddie Kinnison caught that game-winning touchdown. And it's one of my favorite early memories as a Chiefs fan, where I was like, I'm all in. I'm hitched to this wagon. This is my squad for the rest of my life. And such a fun game. I've, in my current role, had a chance to talk to Trent Green about that game, talk to Eddie Kinnison about that game. And it's one of those things that we've had all the success now in Chiefs Kingdom over the last several years, but those moments are the ones I always look back on and I think about like my foundation as a Chiefs fan. And I can still see Kinnison running in the end zone because, of course, we recorded it and I went home and watched the whole game. And just an awesome moment here in Chiefs Kingdom.
Did you catch any fish?
I think so, yeah. So I was a Boy Scout. So my dad and I were working on the fishing merit badge.
And yeah. You got that merit badge.
I sure did, yep.
Were you an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, sure am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a whole other level with this dude. And they got the fishing merit badge. So you caught fish the day. And what's forgotten in that game was the pick six by Jerome Woods.
Yeah.
Brett Favre, the gunslinger, it's the first time the Packers ever, now think about their history going back to 1921, had lost a 17. They had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. And it started with a ricochet pass from Favre off a helmet that Jerome Woods brought it back all the way for a pick six. That started the whole sequence of events to win an overtime. And the Packers were driving with the ball. Amon Green got stripped of the ball and a fumble recovery by the Chiefs near midfield. And then they had a corner go down, and they put, like, Bow Wow Joe guy into the game. I was like, Bow Joe or Joe Bow or something. And they go, we're going right after him. And there goes Kennison. And touchdown, Chiefs win in overtime in a historic win at Lambeau. Quickly as we close, though, let's just talk about this game. The Packers and Jordan Love, they moved on from Aaron Rodgers to go to Jordan Love. We saw Jordan Love start against the Chiefs in 2021 when Aaron Rodgers had COVID. There was no Rodgers-Mahomes matchup in that game. But Jordan Love, the last four games, has really shown, I think, what the Packers believed in that he would be. And, again, this is very similar when the Chiefs had played the Broncos this year or played the Raiders last week. They're playing a team on an uptick because they obliterated the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, which is not easy to do, particularly a good Lions team.
And the key was the Lions gave the Packers a lot of short fields. And it shows that no matter who you're playing, and the Chiefs have dealt with this during this season, if you give teams opportunities and short fields, good teams are going to make you pay for it. And the Packers did that against Detroit. And this is a Packer team playing with a lot of confidence right now. Look at Jordan Love. So on the year, he has 19 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. But in his last four games, where the Packers are 3-1, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, playing really good football, passer rating north of 100. He struggled under pressure this year in general, but in that four-game stretch, a lot better under pressure, making good decisions. I mean, he's a former first-round pick that had the luxury of sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. So he has the talent. I think he has the cerebral wherewithal to be a pretty good quarterback in this league, and we're seeing him really put it together here. And he has some good weapons on this offense. Guys like Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, a rookie out of Michigan State, really good player. And then also Christian Watson and Dontavion Wicks. Each of those guys is averaging over 16 yards per catch. So this offense likes to throw the ball around. And Jordan Love so far, particularly lately, has been pretty solid this season.
One thing they did in the Detroit game was they took shots early in the game. For 10 weeks, so think about where the Chiefs were in like that first of it, possession of the third quarter. The Packers for 10 games had only scored 20 first quarter points. They were at the bottom of the league or near the bottom. They decided against Detroit, forget it, we're taking shots. Got one to Watson early. That got things going. And so for the Chiefs, I think they have to be aware of that because Green Bay saw a little bit of a formula of like, well, let's go for it early here. Because the first quarter had been what the third quarter had been to the Chiefs.
They have 25 passing plays of 25 or more yards. That's sixth in the NFL. It's one of those things where you have Jordan Love, a first-round quarterback, figure out what he can do and just take the training wheels off and fire the football downfield. And he's having success with it because he has the receivers who can create separation deep down the field. It'll be a tough task for the Chiefs defense, but we've talked about how Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed might be the best cornerback duo in the NFL. They've shut down all these number one wide receivers across the league. The guys in Green Bay might not be household names at the moment, but they're good players and they'll be a challenge here on Sunday.
So again, for 10 weeks, 20 points total in the first quarter. They had 20 points in the first quarter against the Lions. Now you talk about short fields. A lot of that was caused by their defensive pressure. And these guys, some of these names are familiar. Rashawn Gary's been around a while. We faced him before. And then you look also at Kenny Clark, who had a big game. And Kenny's in his eighth year. Now, they're beating up on the defensive secondary. We'll see how the injury reports come this week. But they can pressure the quarterback. This is a team that's top six in the league in pressures.
Yeah, they can get pressure. Rashawn Gary is really the main culprit of that, having a nice year. 8.5 sacks. 4 sacks in his last 2 games. So good player, 40 pressures on the year. They have multiple guys along their defensive front, though, that can get pressure on the quarterback. Guys like Kenny Clark, 35 pressures. Preston Smith, 30 pressures. And Devontae Wyatt, a guy I liked a lot out of Georgia a couple years ago, has 28 pressures. These guys are good against the pass. In general, they're allowing just over 200 passing yards per game. It's 9th in the NFL, so pretty good. Only 15 passing plays of 25 or more yards, 4th fewest in the NFL. Have struggled against the run a bit, though. They're allowing 135 yards on the ground on average. 42 rushing plays allowed of 10 or more yards. It's 5th most in the NFL. and they've allowed at least 100 rushing yards on the ground in 7 of their 11 games. So we saw Isaiah Pacheco have a pretty nice day, 89 yards from scrimmage against the Raiders last week. We'll see what he can do. And Rashee Rice, who we're going to talk to here momentarily, looking to see what he can do against this Packers defense, because Rashee is like a running back in the open field. That's what Mike Borgonzi said about him when we first drafted him. He's not someone who's going to go down at first contact. So even though this Packers defense is good against the pass, I'm curious to see how they can use Rashee Rice as a quasi running back against them on Sunday.
So with Rashee here now, let's bring him in and talk about how he can stack up 8 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Key plays, the first 100-yard receiver this year, not named Travis Kelce, and can he do it against the Pack? Awesome to have this guy with us on Defending the Kingdom. We're talking about stacking him up, so we're going to stack it up. But first of all, this will be the official announcement of how to pronounce his name, because this has been chopped up ever since you got here. Right. Here's the drum roll. Your name is pronounced
Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice. Not Rashee. Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice. We got it. All right, Kingdom, now you know. It's awesome to have you here. And first of all, congratulations on an incredible game against the Raiders. How good was it not only to get to the number, but the big catches you made?
It was great. I did before, you know, the last one where I finally got 100 yards. I didn't even know how many yards I had in that game. And, you know, when I came off the field, I still didn't know. I found out when I was doing the jersey swap, and I was like I should have kept my jersey. So I might got to contact my homeboy and get that jersey back, to be honest.
Who'd you swap it with?
My friend Chris from Georgia.
Okay, Chris, let's get it back. We can get you another number 4.
Yeah, I get him another jersey, yeah.
What I think is cool about that game is a lot of those yards were in big moments, and Patrick showed trust in you in major moments. I think about the first scoring drive. It was 3rd and 8. You had a 10-yard catch, really strong grab. Later in the game, like a backyard football kind of play on the first scoring drive of the second half, Patrick's running one way and you get open and you catch the ball for him. Then, of course, the touchdown was on 3rd down.
Yeah.
What's it mean to you that your quarterback trusts you in those moments and you're coming through in those moments?
I mean, it means everything for me. From him obviously being a great quarterback, he's been playing around a lot of great receivers. So for him to trust me as a rookie right now, obviously I'm not looking too far down the road, but it just shows me how much growth I have over time with him.
It looked like on the 19-yarder, on the first drive of the 3rd quarter, which has kind of been the bugaboo drive, we get a TD. It looked like a side adjustment. How much did you have to adjust on that play to make that play happen?
I had to adjust a lot. To be honest, if I wouldn't have ran where I ran, Trav would have got that ball. I looked at the play a couple times, and I'm glad that I made the play how I did, because if I would have been in the way, the play wouldn't have, you know, went how it went, and it would have been all bad for us right there.
So you never go down at first contact. That play is an example of that. You forced a missed tackle. Where does that mentality come from, that you're going to run over guys, you're never going to go down at first contact?
I mean, when I grew up, I was a running back my whole life until high school. So I always had to, I never really was scared of contact. So I had to run through linemen and stuff like that at the time. And now it's kind of like I can use that to my advantage as a wide receiver, because a lot of other wide receivers, they don't have that same, you know, mentality, you know, after they make the catch.
Definitely not. This guy, he plays like a running back.
I love seeing it when I go, here comes a dude trying to tackle him. This ain't going to work out well for
the Chargers game was the best. Yeah, he ran over that safety.
We're going nuts. That's crazy. One final question. We'll let you go, Rashee. This stacking them up, because that's our theme of this podcast today, is to stack them up. This league is about stacking them up. How do you stack them up and attack the Packer game?
I mean, it already started, to be honest. First day back, we're in the weight room. I feel like you can't be explosive on the field without getting your legs ready, you know, get back to practice. And then we're going to get in that meeting room, get our plays together, and then take it straight to the field, make sure that we can have a play, you know, a practice full of execution instead of, you know, practicing bad habits.
Ready to stack up another hundo maybe and go get the Packers, Rashee Rice.
Yes, sir.
So exciting to see that performance. So exciting to see him and what he can be. But again, it's now, can he stack it up? Because you get real excited if he has a game like that this week.
Definitely. So you look at the percentage of snaps he played last week against the Raiders. He played 67% of the offensive snaps. His snap counts have steadily gone up all season. That 67% mark is the second highest of the year for him. He played 68% of the snaps against the Dolphins. So if he can kind of settle in at that 70% of the offensive snaps area, he's going to get opportunities in the offense. And we saw it against the Raiders last week. And again, I can't say this enough. It's so exciting the different situations he thrived in against Las Vegas. Important situations in the game. It wasn't just empty yards. It wasn't like one big 85-yard play at the end of the game. It was big moments. It was third down. It's when Patrick Mahomes is scrambling, looking for an option. He sees Rashi Rice, and he trusts him to catch the football. That's really important stuff, building that confidence right now at this point in the season. And he's so far, I mean, the last several weeks looked really, really good. He should have 7 touchdowns. He was tackled at the 1-yard line twice against the Bears. I can't get off of this. He should have 7 touchdowns this year. Just a really exciting young player here in this offense. Awesome dude. Super excited to get to know him a little bit better. And let's see where he goes from here. But you're right. You have a great game. That's awesome. It's about turning the page and moving on, doing the same thing now against the Packers.
So here's how you do this. It'll be easier for those of you in the southern United States or those of you around the world in the southern hemisphere. Do what Matt did in what that would be 20 years ago, and that is go fishing with your dad or mom and listen to the game against Chiefs and Packers, right? Now watch us first on Field Pass on Facebook Live, and then you can listen to the game and go fishing, catch some fish, and maybe it'll be exciting Chiefs victory. And maybe, Matt, the Chiefs will stack it up against the Pack.